Hello, and welcome to Accessagogy, a podcast about accessibility and pedagogy. I'm your host, Anne Gagne, and this podcast is recorded on land covered by the Upper Canada Treaties and within land protected by the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Agreement, which is the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe peoples. Welcome to Episode 11, or Season 2, Episode 1. As you can tell by the new land acknowledgement, a lot has happened over the summer. I moved to a new city, I started a new job, and I know that what I said in the Season 1 finale, which was that I was going to work on my book on accessible pedagogy, well, that did not necessarily happen. However, now that all the things that I own are in one city and I no longer have to do a lot of back and forth, I hope to find some time to continue working on that book going forward. This is also exciting because I get to see how the podcast sounds recording into a new room. I moved to a place where every neighbor that I own has a dog. And so I may be editing out some dog barks and an incredible amount of blue jays. But you tell me how it sounds and I would be happy to modify. I'm also trying to be strategic about when I record and looking for times when it's a bit quieter in my neighborhood. In this episode, I want to return to what I said that I would be talking about in the Season 1 finale, which was accessible social media, because a lot has happened in that space over the summer. One of the other things that I did want to do over the summer, as I said I was going to do, is to run a Zoom workshop for labor and community organizers about how to make their social media more accessible, in particular Twitter, as many folk had been using that platform to share ideas and events, and I was seeing some visuals that were really not accessible. But then, you know, everything changed. People have been leaving Twitter, or what it's called now, for new platforms. Some ended up on Mastodon, some on Blue Sky, and some on LinkedIn, which seems to be the place where a lot of academics are now. It was not an organized movement, of course, and people moved to where they felt most of their friends and followers were going. But one of the things that was not necessarily taken into account was the accessibility of where people would end up. Many folk on Twitter and disability community raised points about how the other new platforms were not accessible. They lacked alt text, for example. They lacked privacy supports or, you know, safety supports. They had no private messaging ability. And so groups split up and some necessary conversations basically ended. I mention this because the same sorts of things happen when the choices are made about tools that we use in classroom settings. Some of them which can be social media tools, and some tools that serve different pedagogical purposes, like to communicate, to annotate, to illustrate, or maybe even just to work in groups. These accessibility considerations need to be thought of. This is also of interest and importance in relation to generative artificial intelligence or generative AI conversations that are being had in higher education. And this will probably end up being its own topic of a different episode later on in the season, but I just want to flag that as well. For today, I want to focus on social media and how we can make social media accessible, and some of the things that we can think about when we're making choices about the tools that we're using in edu spaces or stop using or platforms that we leave. I will focus on four main things to think about in terms of accessible pedagogical use in social media today. So, number one, think about the overall user experience of the social media tool. Questions to ask are, how do the users navigate? How does it align with different kinds of assistive technology? How easy or difficult is it to use or engage on the platform? These considerations intersect with digital literacy and overall platform literacy considerations. They are assumptions. There are assumptions that are made that users of a certain age all know how to use technology, and of course that's not true. Platform literacy is actually what is being referenced here. And so some users may know how to use specific platforms very well, like TikTok or Instagram, But that does not mean that they'll be able to use all platforms equally well, which a lot of folk have mentioned about Mastodon, for example, when the learning curve seems to be pretty high in using that space. So when deciding to use a social media tool as a communication space or a back channel in some of your classes, think about the user experience for the learners and if this would be a space that could be used without much support. And if not, then you need to, of course, provide that support for the tools in your classes. So give some guidance, give some training, give some resources in your learning management system, those kinds of things. Two, ask what different kinds of modality that social media tool can support. Are there different ways to communicate and accessible in a mixture of ways? Is it a text-only space, or can it be text, audio, video, images? And ultimately, if there are different ways to communicate, are there equally different ways to support this in accessible ways? So, for example, are there captions for the video that you can toggle on or off so that there's accurate closed captions, for example, and not just open captions? Is there a way to describe or alt text the images that are shared? Explore the accessibility of the social media platform and look at what it can do and what is planned for the future. So look at the website and see what they're planning for the tool for future. Three, are there financial or social capital barriers to using this social media tool? So the best example I have about this right now is what's going on with Blue Sky and why you'll never find me there. Blue Sky is in beta release, and so as a result, they're limiting the amount of people that are on the platform. And so to do this, they're using invite codes, which means that you will see people on social media platforms asking for codes to join. And so, of course, this means that those with more social capital and that have connections will get the codes, and thus the platform seems to be kind of self-selecting the kinds of users that they want. And this has been going on for months. I know many academics have found new spaces and communities there, but many of us are still on Twitter because of that exact reason. The inequity of this platform rollout is an example of things that folk don't consider when they pick a platform or a tool. Sometimes this gatekeeping of community is done through fees, so like you get some freemium situations. Where it's free to join or use the platform, but all the useful tools on the platform become behind a paywall. I know many people have very strong feelings about Blue Sky, and I've seen it kind of be shown on Twitter, and I'm happy to chat about this, but really thinking about these different levels of participation and how there's like sort of a level of have and have not that's being happening on that platform also becomes part of the necessary conversations that we need to have in eduspace. And then four and finally, think about the safety considerations. I know a lot of institutions do the work of vetting tools for digital safety and privacy of data. Part of this vetting is sometimes, but not always, looking at the safety of the tool or the platform for the learner. So vetting means looking at the kind of data that they're asking when you log in, the kind of data that's stored or publicly available when one is logged in. However, safety is one of those things that are never certain, right? It's impossible to say that there is one way to make a platform safe because safety is also very much tied to positionality. What is safe for one person may not be safe for the other. And so I think it's important to think about these things and think about how harassment policies work or how are issues reported and dealt with on the platform. These are only a few things to consider to make social media use more inclusive and accessible. One of the reasons why I didn't facilitate that workshop for community organizers this summer, besides, moving house, is that I can't do a workshop on social media because social media space is so much in flux right now. Even the concept of what social media is changing. This does not mean, however, that the folk are not responsible to create social media that's accessible, right? So when you're deciding on where you're going next, you should still think about the accessibility of where that next is. Think about where your messages were coming from and where they're going on different platforms. people, institutions, communities, organizations are actively trying to see where their audiences are ending up and where to focus their social media energy and outreach. This is a situation that has and is changing daily, and honestly, this may completely change again come the end of December, for example. And I'm sure that I will return to these connected concepts this season again. So that's it. That is episode 11 of Accessagogy with the season 2 introduction and an overview of some things to think about to make social media accessible. Remember as well that I want this to be a space where you can ask questions and share concepts that you'd like me to discuss. So if there's anything that I mentioned here that you'd like me to clarify, please ask. I hope to be posting these episodes every 2 weeks as I did last year and then have a blog post in the weeks between. As always, if you have any ideas or aspects of your pedagogy that you would like me to address on this podcast, please feel free to send me an email at accessagogy, so that's accessagogy at gmail.com. I will try to include as many suggestions as possible for this podcast because ultimately, as you know, this podcast is for you. So that's it. That's episode 11 of Accessagogy. Thanks so much for following along and asking, how can I make my space more accessible today? Have a good week.